we've got Representative Dillsdale, and he's got some testifiers here. What we'll do is we'll likely do that one. We're going to go a little bit out of order because we do have some people with travel schedules and so forth. So Representative Dill, the chair will move House File 1200 be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill. Welcome back to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is about making an exception to liquor licensing laws to two specific properties in the city of Grand Marais. This law was amended once before. It's 340A.404 for a property owned by the Melhaff in Detroit Lake. And what the bill actually does is allow, at their facilities, they don't have a restaurant. They will have seating for 30, and they do have many more rooms than the 10 required. And it will allow them to sell intoxicating liquor, wine, and intoxicating beer, malt liquor, to their guests and their invitees or persons who are attending a conference or a musical event, those types of things. The city of Grand Marais has sent a letter. I don't think that's in your packet. They have asked first these fine folks to ask to poll their community, other establishments that meet the basic requirements, and they determined that one other lodging establishment was interested in this. They were included in the legislation. That's the East Bay Suite. Happens to be right on the shore of Lake Superior, right in the city, as both properties are in Grand Marais. And the city has come and said that they passed a unanimous resolution in support of this bill. Also, I have a letter here, and I don't think it's in your packet, from Detroit Lake, so I'll quickly read it. It says, the city of Detroit Lake has had no problems with the liquor license that is now has been issued at the lodge on Detroit Lake under the previous exemption. In fact, the events held at the lodge have meant an additional entertainment venue for the community of Detroit Lakes, and they would strongly encourage the amendment or the exception as we have in the bill for the Best Western up in Grand Marais. Now, I have the, I think that it's pretty straightforward. The bill pertains only to two properties, both of them located in Grand Marais, where the city has endorsed this, and at that, Mr. Chair, I will have the Melhaff give you a short, very short description of how this will affect them and how they'll be handling that, and then I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Dill. Welcome to the committee. If you can just identify who's ever going to speak, or if both of you are going to speak, just identify who you are and proceed with the testimony.
My name is Scott Melhoff, my wife Chris. I guess I will speak first, and thank you for allowing us to present to you today. As Representative Dill mentioned, in 2005 we were also here and presented the same exact liquor legislation for our new hotel we were developing in Detroit Lakes, the Lodge on Lake Detroit, which is a lifestyle hotel spa. Part of that lifestyle was encompassing a lobby bar area, which many chains are currently in the process of developing. We have been operating it for 2.5 years, the bar area, in the lodge, successfully, and are looking at doing a similar type of thing in Grand Marais. Our lobby bar is open at limited hours, 5 to 10 p.m. every day, and is available for our guests. In Grand Marais, we are in the process of kind of reinvigorating our property. We are a family business, been around for 3 generations now, 55 years. And Grand Marais, we've been there for 25, right on the lake, growing the property from 20 units to now 66 units. Have gone through extensive renovations in our guest rooms, just won a design award from Best Western for our renewal steam suites, so you can have your steam shower with 5 showerheads and glass overlooking the lake. So in Grand Marais, also with Best Western, and when we built the hotel, originally we served donuts and coffee. Now, of course, as you may be aware, breakfasts at hotels are a lot different, and we are not able to provide the services that we would like to provide because of our limited space. So we are looking at doing about $1 million lobby addition, renovation, putting an elevator in, upgrading our hotel, and being able to allow services, events, bringing in local musicians, partnering with restaurants, which is what we have done in Detroit Lakes, and have documentation that it has helped them to have more people in town, especially in the off-season. So that is, I guess, what we are requesting today, and we would love to know if you have any questions.
And Representative Dill, are you aware of anybody else who desires to testify or aware of, or anybody aware of any opposition to the bill?
I know of only people that are for the bill, Mr. Chairman, and they're not here to testify.
Okay, and we have a number of letters and so forth in support. So, Representative David, do you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and to the testifier, you said something about a lifestyle property.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, we have a full-service day spa. It's not your typical type of hotel. So, you know, getting away from it all, you know, not staying necessarily overnight. You come there to experience, we say it's the sunset, just like in Grand Marais, we're on Lake Superior. It's not a roadside motel that you just are there to not experience, per se. You can probably.
If I may interject also, my name is Chris Holland, Mohawk. Part of that experience that we're trying to create and we're evolving into is we've incorporated regional artwork into our rooms. We're adding ecological initiatives into our rooms. And we ourselves are also musicians. So with the lobby bar concept, we would like to be able to host, as we are at the lodge, jazz duos, folk guitar, small events type things that we can host in our lobby area and have a wine tasting or and enhance the guest experience. It allows us to rent rooms in advance in off-season times and allows us to provide a different experience than just renting a room and going to your room. They engage in the hotel and the community. They'll stay a couple extra days because of the events and the amenities that we offer. It just brings it up another level.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
David,
is Fenninoli's, is that in Grand Marais or Two Harbors?
Fenninoli's is about 2 blocks away from our hotel.
2 blocks away?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative David. Representative Dill sings there several times a week. Is that's our understanding from some of the support material.
No.
I hope that won't work against your bill, but are there any other questions or concerns? Anyone else who desires to testify with respect to the bill? All right, then the chair will renew his motion that House File 1200 be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And folks, at this point, normally if I have bills up, I do not hear them until the end. With your permission, I'm going to put mine up next because we've got a person here that needs to get on an airplane in order to make a 7 o'clock flight. So I'll turn it over to Representative Lilly.
We were with you up until that point. Sorry, gratuitous shot of the light chair.
Fair enough. Look at that. Chair Atkins, do you want to move your bill, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I would note, by the way, I didn't do it for the record before, but we do have a quorum so we can now actually vote on stuff. But in order to shape things up, I've got three amendments that should be in members' packets, the A1, A2, and A3, they are in fact voted that way. So I just get those out of the way and get them in the shape in which we'd like to proceed. I'd move the A1 amendment. Actually, first, I move House File 819 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Public Safety Policy.
With that, Chair Atkins, we have the bill before us, so go ahead with your amendments.
I'd move the A1 amendment first.
Everybody have a copy of the A1 amendment? Any questions regarding A1? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment 1, A1 is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd next move the A2.
Everybody have a copy of the A2? Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Seeing none, A2 is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And finally, I'd move the A3.
Anybody see any, you have that? So any comments? Representative Hoppe, you have a question?
Mr. Chair, I just like to comment that you're doing an exceptionally fine job rushing through these amendments for us. This is great committee work. 1, 2, 3, just like clockwork.
Thank you for your comments. So I'll recognize you again later tonight when you're buying at the bar. I don't drink, so.
But then I'm happy to box you all night, Mr. Chair.
I thought that might work for you. All in favor of the A3, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
A3 adopted. Mr. Atkins, we have your bill as amended before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I appreciate the support for putting the bill in the shape that I'd like to move with it. The this has been something of a work in progress. The purpose of the bill is that out east and right here in our backyard, it was triggered by actually Bruce Springsteen had a concert that with some tickets were put up for sale, and members of the general public didn't feel that they had a legitimate chance to buy those tickets at face value. I could, quite frankly, make this very inflammatory towards Ticketmaster and the initial sellers. There have been all sorts of arguments that have been made across the country for what happened with those tickets and how the allegedly people were redirected to a secondary site where they had to pay considerably more, in many cases multiple times the face value of the ticket, to purchase the tickets that they sought to buy at face value when they initially went on sale. In order to address that, before I even introduced the bill, I called the folks at Ticketmaster and their representative here in Minnesota to talk to them about how best we might be able to address the issue. And in working with them, I think we're working towards a way to go about that that wouldn't just apply to Ticketmaster, but would apply to anybody that was the initial seller. And essentially what it does, and since we've incorporated the amendments, I'll work off of that. But basically what it says is that if you're the initial ticket seller, you can sell those tickets, and then you have to wait 7 days before you can get into the resale business. The allegation was that the initial ticket seller was actually cherry-picking the very best tickets and not making those available to the average guy to buy those tickets when they first went on sale. They were taking those best tickets, immediately putting them onto a resale site at many times their face value, so you never had a legit shot to even buy those tickets. What the bill says now is that you can sell those tickets initially, but you then have to wait a week before you can put them up on any sort of resale site. And you gotta make all those tickets available for members of the actual public, real people, to purchase. After a week, if you want to get some tickets back, put them on a secondary site and raise the value, you can go ahead and do that. It also says that you cannot directly link the word, and I've got a whole fistful of emails from people that in Minnesota that were faced by this issue. I didn't ask them to all come and testify because we've got lots of things before the committee today. But there was one person in particular that said they went on to the initial site and they were immediately redirected to the Tickets Now site. The same allegation that was made in New Jersey and elsewhere. And so we've prohibited direct linking, which is something to Ticketmaster's credit. Even before anybody started squeezing them, they took down the direct link from the Ticketmaster site to the Tickets Now, their secondary resale site. They also just agreed to do that with the New Jersey Attorney General. And since they're already agreeing to it elsewhere in the country, it seemed to be a good consumer protection here in Minnesota. That's a brief as I can, explanation of the bill. We also worked with the teams, the Twins, Vikings, and so forth, that wanted to still have the ability to sell directly to the public without being hung up in all of this. And so we've made it, with Mr. Pender's help, we've made an exception that allows teams or the Bruce Springsteen himself, if he wants to do something with his tickets, with his act, and raise prices or sell them on the secondary market. We're not doing anything with them. It's just the initial ticket seller that's charged with the responsibility of making these tickets available to the public at face value should have a responsibility to actually do that. With that, that concludes my comments. I believe that the folks from Ticketmaster are here and probably want to be heard with respect to it as well.
Thank you, Chair Atkins. Mr. Freeman, is there, or do you have a team? Sounds great. Please state your name for the record and go ahead when you're ready, sir.
Sure. My name's Joseph Freeman. I'm a senior vice president with Ticketmaster. I'd like to thank the committee for the opportunity to speak, and in particular, I'd like to thank Chairman Atkins for the thoughtfulness with which he has approached this issue, not just this year, but also last year when he led the charge here in Minnesota on anti-bots legislation, which we strongly supported as well. If I may, I'd just like to take several minutes to provide a little background on our business, the ticketing business, because quite frankly, there's been a lot of misreporting and misunderstandings in the media among the public. We do not own the tickets that are made available for sale to the public in initial on sale. We're an agent for our clients, which in this market include the folks at the Target Center, the XL Center, the Wild, the Vikings, the Timberwolves. We do not ticket the university, we do not ticket the Twins. But when our clients entrust us to sell their tickets to the public at face value, each and every one of those tickets is made available to the public in the manner we are directed. We do not divert tickets to a resale site. We do not offer anybody preferential access to a resale site. However, in this day and age, with sophisticated computer ticketing systems such as ours or the one run by the Minnesota Twins off of another ticketing company's platforms, you can literally sell thousands and thousands and thousands of tickets in a minute. And that's what the live entertainment industry wants, because if a show sells out right away, there's a very good chance a second or even a third show will follow right after. In this case, there was absolutely no redirecting, meaning nobody came to look at the Ticketmaster site for primary tickets and without any affirmative click-through was sent to another site. What happened simply was that when a specific ticket request could not be met from the primary ticketing system, meaning you asked for 6 tickets in a certain section or on a certain day, if that could not be met, you were then given a very clear option on a subsequent page to go back and refine your search in the primary market, or to then click affirmatively on a button on the website and go over to a resale marketplace to see what else might be available, because it's a fact in our business that a lot of people, quite frankly, are interested in sitting up front or not sitting anywhere at all. That said, we've learned a very difficult lesson in the last month or so. In the immediate aftermath of the Springsteen on sale on February 2nd, prior to being contacted by anybody, we made the affirmative decision not just to stop offering that linking page, which we genuinely felt was going to provide consumers with more options, because we've seen data that when fans go online to look for tickets, close to 40% of them don't even bother going to the primary site. They go straight to look at secondary sites online because they know if it's a high-demand event, within a few minutes, a lot of the good tickets will be gone just because folks are on there 10 a.m. Saturday morning whenever to buy them. We also took an affirmative stance on the Tickets Now site. Parenthetically, we don't third parties post tickets on the Tickets Now site. It's an online marketplace akin to an eBay, would be a good example. But we took affirmative steps to no longer allow the pre-listing of tickets, meaning no longer allowing tickets to appear for concerts on that resale marketplace until they have initially gone on sale to the public. We call on other online resellers to do the same. We haven't seen anyone follow that lead, but we would certainly embrace it. Underlying this whole issue, and I'll make it very quick, is a supply and demand imbalance. You know, the Hannah Montana firestorm of 18 months ago really brought this out to prominence, where you have an artist, whether it's Springsteen or Hannah Montana, or in Canada now there's a big outcry over Leonard Cohen touring, where sometimes demand for tickets simply outstrips supply. We wish every artist would play and play and play until fan demand was met. That's not practical. There's a saying in our business, we only make one first row. And a lot of the resale on the secondary side is simply a result of the pricing up front not being as efficient in a crass economic sense to really meet what the actual value of the ticket is in terms of consumer demand. But in an ideal fantasy world, artists would play and play until there was no need to play anymore. That's not the world we live in, and we are trying our best and resolve to do better, and are very thankful for Representative Atkins' leadership on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Chair Atkins, do you want any questions from the committee?
A brief question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. A brief question for Representative Atkins, and I think I already know the answer to this, but I promised the constituent I would ask. When we're looking at your bill, that would in no way, shape, or form prohibit somebody, a private individual who owns the tickets, from going on the Internet and selling them.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, that's correct. I was afraid it was going to be a Leonard Cohen question. But I know you're trying to get those hot tickets. Yeah, Representative Davids is more of a fan.
Who's Leonard Cohen?
I like wrestling class.
I think he's like Larry the Cable Guy in Canada.
Is that who he is?
I've lost control of this meeting. Please go through the chair. I'm really, this is important to me. Chair Atkins? Anybody else in the audience like to be heard on this bill? Seeing none, any final comments, Chair Atkins?
I'd renew my motion that House File 819 as amended be recommended passed and referred to the Committee on Public Safety Policy.
So we have that motion. Anybody, nothing else? Seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Your bill's on the way, sir.
Thanks, Chair and members.
Do we?
Sober.
Representative Simon? Representative Simon, do you want to move your bill, sir?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding is that this will be laid over for possible inclusion in the
Thank you. Go ahead when you're ready. You're correct, Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill, House File 159, is a bill that would simply enable liquor stores, if they wanted to sell certain safe storage and monitoring devices for alcohol in the home, presumably to prevent access by underage drinkers. That's the exact line of the statute. And I didn't know this, being new on the committee. Many of you probably did. I didn't realize there was such a list, as you'll see on House File 159, of things that liquor stores could actually sell. So we know they can't sell jewelry, I guess. So they can't sell, a lot of things that aren't on the list. And so I was contacted through a mutual friend by Mr. Schmidt here, who I'll introduce in a second. Bob Schmidt, who is the inventor of a device and owner of a company called Just Encase. That's E-N-C-A-S-E. And you'll see over to my left here some examples of the products that he sells. And he'll be able to tell you, the idea is that he just wants to be able to sell these, if there's a willing buyer, in liquor stores. My understanding from him, as he'll tell you in a minute, is there are willing buyers at liquor stores who would like to sell this device or this product, but they've told them that they can't because state law won't allow them to because it's not on the list. So I'd like to turn it over to him and have Mr. Schmidt introduce himself for the record.
Thank you, Representative Simon. Please state your name and go ahead when you're ready, Mr. Schmidt.
My name is Bob Schmidt. I wanted to thank the chairman as well as the members of the committee for this opportunity. I've been on basically a five-year journey. 5 years ago, a situation triggered with a family friend, which triggered me. I have a 20-some-year career in the office equipment business, but I got took this up as an opportunity based on a situation that occurred with a family friend. Just a little bit of history. The situation was such that a freshman in high school got into the alcohol in the home before she and her best friend got on the bus in the morning. She proceeded to pass out in the first hour of class, almost to the point of having to be rushed to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. She's maybe 100 pounds. In the process, she incriminated her best friend, who also had partake of the alcohol on the bus. So it got me thinking for about 18 months. It resonated in my head as to what it could have just as easily have been me. Case of beer in the garage refrigerator, I couldn't tell you if I got 12, 17, what the amount is. So I've been down the path and on this journey for some time. Approximately a little over a year ago, I'd made an arrangement with MDM, Mike Maglich, the owner, Tim Larson, the VP of operations, to actually start to try to market these in the liquor store. He was very open to this, saw the value, met with, now it's going to be in conjunction with Tonka Cares out in Minnetonka. So it was brought to my attention that we needed to make a change to be able to sell these in liquor stores. So that's why I'm here today. Is I believe, and through my research and talking to the managers of liquor stores, you have parents bringing alcohol bottles in, your whiskeys and brandy, your amber-colored bottles. They're bringing their bottles from their home. to compare it to alcohol bottles that are on the shelf. They say it looks a little bit on the light side, and sure enough. So parents are actually bringing their alcohol in because it's getting watered down at home. So I've gone and spoken to many of the retail locations to find out what they're doing and what types of questions they're getting asked, and it's pretty pervasive as the parents are looking for a tool and looking for a strategy. So I invented the product. It is currently in patent pending status. It was patent application was submitted in October of 2007. So just a little bit of background on what brought me here as well as the current status.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Representative Simon?
Yeah, I just want to say before there are any questions, I know of no opposition to this, and it's just simply putting it on the list so that liquor stores, if they want to buy this product or other similar products, they can. They don't have to. It's not every parent's idea of how to deal with alcohol in the home. It wasn't mine. My parents, they weren't the lock and key type. But for others, maybe that's the way they want to have it in their family, and I think that ought to be an option. So.
Thank you, Representative Simon. Representative David?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Representative Simon, or to the inventor of this thing. Why do you have it clear? Why don't you make it so the kids can't see it?
Well, the purpose for
Mr. Schmidt.
Yeah. Mr. Chair.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Mr. Schmidt. The purpose is, in many cases, it may not even contain the casing, the cardboard casing. So you could actually count and see the actual quantity of, for instance, the cans of beer, bottles of beer, and make this in a wide number of different sizes and variations based on the manufacturer packaging that they use. So the thought process is it's basically an option either to maintain it in the case, but in many cases they'll actually want to take it out of the case so they can actually physically inventory it through it as well. So that was the thought process associated with it as well.
Thank you. Anybody in the audience would like to be heard on this bill? Seeing none, any further questions up here? None, any? Final comments, Representative Simon?
No, I just hope it ends up in the final liquor bill. Thank you.
Okay. With that, the chair moves that House File 195 be laid over, or 159 be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill. Representative Slocum, are you willing? Have you had a good opportunity to read the minutes, and would you like to? Like to move them?
I've thoroughly studied them, and I'd like to move that we approve them.
Thank you, Representative. Welcome. Any questions to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes approved. Representative Solberg.
Would someone give me a copy of my bill? I can't find my file.
Do you have a
brief of it too?
Yes,
Representative Solberg, the chair will move that, where is yours?
97.
That House File 97. Be laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Solberg, go ahead when you're ready, sir.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. The city of Aiken has a private convention center in the city, and was connected to another supper club in a separate building. And the supper club is where the liquor license was established, was sold, but the people who still maintain the private convention center. And they went to the city to get a liquor license for it, and state law doesn't allow them to have a general liquor license, as I understand it. They can come to an event by event by event to go to the county and do their city. And so this one is just clarified that if the city wants to give them a general liquor license with all the responsibilities, that they can do that. And I think it's that simple.
Representative Solberg, are you aware of any opposition to your bill, sir?
Not that I know of. I've got a newspaper article and the request from that particular individual. That's opposition has not been beating my door down or having all kinds of emails opposed to it. And I don't know where the League of Women or the... No, I won't go there.
Fair enough, sir.
So.
Chair Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sulberger, this might be better maybe for our staff, but is there a statutory definition of convention center? I'm just wondering if this applies to, you know, my basement where all the kids seem to gather, but there must be something that would delimit what we're talking about with respect to a convention center.
You gotta get a box.
I like that idea.
Mr. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, there is not a definition of convention center in the 348 liquor statute. The way this is drafted, a city would determine what a convention center is by their action of issuing a license to it.
Thank you.
Chair Atkins. Any questions for Representative Solberg?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Abney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the staff, and this is almost a non sequitur, but the city of Bloomington is not allowed to create a convention center, and I'm wondering if there would be any unintended consequences with a bill that allows the city to define a convention center juxtaposed against that prohibition in state law, as I understand it, sir.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abney, the city wouldn't be defining a convention center. The city would be issuing a liquor license to some organization they consider to be a convention center for the purposes of this law, and that would not impact any other prohibition on a convention center. I don't think you could backdoor your way in. I'll do a little bit of research between now and when this gets going to make sure that that doesn't happen, and if so, I could put together a technical language to prevent that.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Member, thank you very much. That's a simple bill. Okay. I didn't even need my
any
phone.
Further questions?
Representative Hoppe could have.
Sounds good. The chair will move that House File 97 be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill. Chair Atkins, do you want to have a roadmap for you kind of do that on Thursdays? Or
I prefer to keep people in the dark.
Okay, fair enough.
I believe that we've got a number of routine bills, and who knows, probably some set to pop next week. I know that there are some bills that we're trying to be cognizant of ones that need to make multiple committee stops. So to the extent that we take possession of bills that have multiple stops potentially to make, we are going to endeavor to hear them as rapidly as we can. We'll give as much notice as we can, but there's and we always, I think, John calls in as soon as we put bills on, so we want to make sure that we give all of our members as much advance notice, but some of those bills as we approach deadlines are going to be put on the agenda a day or two in advance rather than the 3 days that we prefer. That's the only thing I'd offer. As far as liquor bills go, there will be one more opportunity towards the end where we're going to take up a few bills. I think there's one that applies to the Gopher stadiums or Gopher situations at the University of Minnesota, which should be somewhat interesting. So that's as much of a roadmap as I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Atkins. Representative Zeller?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Chair Atkins, you were right in line. I was hoping, promised Representative Hackbarth, he said he's got a bill in that he put in a request for dealing with the omnibus liquor bill, and I promised to put a plug in for him tonight. If he gracious enough to give him a hearing or include him during the next liquor day, he would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zeller. Any other questions? Seeing none. With that, we're adjourned.